society, always be aware of your surroundings. They are among us. They always have been. The true criminal minds, killers, evil, and some are monsters. Welcome to True Criminal Minds with Douglas Boyd. True Criminal Minds gives you the stories of the most notorious and the most vile among us. We do not cheer them. Rather, we expose their evil. We do always advocate, lift up, and pray for their victims. Welcome to True Criminal Minds. Thank you so much for joining us today on True Criminal Minds. I am your host, Douglas Boyd. Please know at the onset of this that we do not do this podcast in order to give any honor or glory to those people with criminal minds. But yet we do this podcast to expose them and to expose their deeds and to always remind you to be praying for their victims and their victims' family and friends. If you like True Criminal Minds, please subscribe to our podcast. Take that a step further and invite your family and your friends to our podcast if you think they'll enjoy it. Please remember that these episodes are explicit, not for younger audiences at all, but for mature audiences only. We are continuing our series on serial killer Farian Wardrop, and today we discuss the incredible man who solved this case. Let's jump into it, why don't we? John Little was a kind man who loved his family and his work. He was a bricklayer. Years later, by almost a stroke of luck, he was hired as an investigator for the district attorney's office in Wichita Falls, Texas. John was a common sense, deliberate man who was not afraid to tackle big problems, and he was handed over the cold case files of the murders of Tony Gibbs, Terry Sims, and Ellen Blau. He and Barry Maka, the district attorney, were talking one day and noted that Tony Gibbs' car was found less than a half a mile from where Terry Sims was murdered. Barry Maka and John Little knew that there was something about this area, this neighborhood, that was a connection to the killer. John Little studied the cases. At the end, noticed a note about Ellen Blau. It was when Farian Wardrop was being transferred from Galveston to Wichita Falls after he confessed to the murder of Tina Kimbrough. He noted to the officer that he knew Ellen Blau, and he asked about her. Sadly, and somehow, tragically, no one followed up on this information. It was simply left alone and tucked away in the files. But John Little determined he would follow up on it. John Little began to piece it all together, block by block, just like building that brick wall that he used to build. He discovered that Farian Wardrop lived right by Ellen Blau's best friend's on Bell Street, right in the vicinity of the Terry Sims murder, and right in the vicinity where Tony Gibbs' car was discovered. Next, Little discovered that Wardrop worked at the hospital down the street, the same hospital where Terry Sims and Tony Gibbs worked. And he also noticed from records that Farian Wardrop quit his job 4 days after Tony Gibbs' body was discovered. John Little, the incredible John Little, saw what no one else did. Next, investigator Little noted that Wardrop had moved close to the Subs and Suds where Ellen Blau worked. John Little knew in his heart that Farian Wardrop had killed these women. He just knew it. It was something down inside him, like a light bulb that had went off, and he knew that he had his man. John Little discovered that Farian Wardrop had been released from prison after serving only 11 years of a 35-year sentence for murdering Tina Kimbrew. And he had also noticed that the murder stopped after Farian Wardrop went to prison. Farian Wardrop was now living in Alney, Texas. He was remarried, working at a small factory, and teaching Sunday school at the local Church of Christ. John Little staked out the factory where Farian Wardrop worked, and one morning his wife came to see him, Farian Wardrop's wife. Farian Wardrop walked out of that building eating a package of cheese crackers and drinking a cup of coffee. John Little saw Farian Wardrop discard the coffee cup, and he knew that it would or should be easy to spot because of the cheese crackers that he was consuming getting on the cup. He ran over and asked Wardrop if he could grab the cup and use it as a spit cup. Wardrop said sure. He saw the cup with the cheese cracker stains on the edge. He retrieved that cup and submitted it for a DNA study. There was a match. The DNA matched that which was found on Tony Gibbs and Terry Sims. Farian Wardrop's time as a free man was running out. John Little set up a meeting between Farian Wardrop and his probation officer. Farian Wardrop was under the impression that they were going to take off his ankle monitor that he had been wearing since he had gotten out of prison. So he was very excited to be there that day. But when he got there, John Little told him to come to his office, that he had an old crime that he wanted to talk to him about. Wardrop obliged him and went. After a short interview, where Farian Wardrop denied knowing Ellen Blau or having anything to do with any of these murders, Farian Edward Wardrop was arrested for the murders of Tony Gibbs and Terry Sims. Wardrop maintained his innocence, not knowing of the DNA evidence. After finding out that they had DNA on him and stewing in jail for a few days, Farian Wardrop asked to see John Little. Wardrop was asked about Terry Sims, and he admitted to forcing his way into the house, slinging her around, as he put it, beating her, tying her up, and raping her. He admitted stabbing her in a violent rage, and in a cold, calculated, numbing manner, he just sat there and confessed to the gruesome details of what he had done with those blank eyes staring ahead. He mentioned how, back in the 80s, that Satan had a hold of him. I would note that I am a Christian, and for Satan to have a firm hold on anyone, a door must first be opened to invite Satan in. I don't know about Farian Wardrop's past. I don't know how he lived, what he did that led up to these murders, but I know that somewhere along the way, a dark, twisted door was opened. People like Farian Wardrop almost always try to make themselves the victims somehow. Farian Wardrop is not a victim. He was a methodical, cold-blooded serial killer. On Tony Gibbs, Wardrop stated that he was out walking and saw Gibbs and she offered him a ride. I simply can't believe this. The more probable explanation is that he was stalking both Gibbs and Sims. Farian Wardrop described how he randomly ran on to these women, how he randomly ran on to Ellen Blau at a stoplight by the McDonald's by Shepherd Air Force Base, and he watched her turn into a convenience store where he assaulted and kidnapped her. But I ask you, what are the odds that someone who stayed across from where he lived, who he had met before, what are the odds that by chance he would be standing there as she pulled up to the light? It's almost impossible. In a town of 100,000 people, it's almost impossible that he would just be randomly standing there and she pulls up. Ellen Blau was more likely being stalked by Farian Wardrop. As the interviews ended, Wardrop shocked John Little by confessing to another murder that they did not know about. The murder was in Fort Worth. Her name was Deborah Taylor. It's my belief that this was the only murder that was a random meeting. Deborah Taylor rejected Wardrop's advances outside a Fort Worth bar, and she paid for it with her life. And sadly and tragically, for years, her husband was a suspect and lived with a black cloud over his head. This man was yet another victim of Farian Wardrop's crimes. In 1999, Farian Wardrop was sentenced to death. As this podcast airs, it's 2021, and the sentence has still not been carried out. Oddly and tragically, investigator John Little, the hero of this case, the hero of the victims and their families and friends, would not live to see the court's verdict carried out. Investigator John Little, a man who loved his family, loved his friends, loved his work. John Little, the man who solved this case, died from pancreatic cancer on November the 3rd, 2018. He was only 57 years old. And more tragedy. 2 months later, Little's daughter, Bree Moore, died of brain cancer. It just doesn't seem right. John Little, a hero, is gone. And yet our tax dollars still give Farian Wardrop everything he needs while in prison. If he needs glasses, our tax dollars pay for it. If he needs to go to the doctor, our tax dollars pay for it. The 3 meals that he gets every day, our tax dollars pay for it. It just doesn't seem fair to me. It was recently in the news that Farian Wardrop's death sentence, after so many years of appeals and even judges fighting for him, his death sentence was reinstated. There is no date yet, but it was reinstated. Before the execution is carried out, it is my hope that Farian Wardrop will come clean. I personally don't believe that his life and the tragedies in his life that befell him, or the drugs, or his first bad marriage, any of that, I don't think that any of it had anything to do with his crimes. I believe that he stalked his victims. He worked at the hospital where Terry Sims and Tony Gibbs worked. He lived near the apartment where Ellen Blau was always at, and he was friends, supposedly, with Tina Kimbrew. I believe that he stalked them. I believe that he prowled. I believe that he was watching them, waiting for an opportunity to kill them. No, I don't believe that any of this was by accident. He didn't just happen on to them. He stalked them. He was a silent, stalking predator to their lives, and they didn't see it coming. This is our last episode about Farian Wardrop. I tried to contact the prison where he is. I talked to the warden, and I asked them if I could do an interview with Farian Wardrop. He is turning down every single interview. He will not speak to the public or reporters or anyone else. But I do hope he comes clean. And as this last episode ends, I want to commend former District Attorney Barry Maka. I do believe and know that mistakes were made, but I also know that Barry Maka cared deeply about this case and bringing whoever did these murders to justice. And I want to honor the memory of the great investigator John Little, a man that was determined to find out the truth, a man that studied and dug into this like a pit bull and would not let go. John Little, we owe you such a debt. The families and the friends of these victims, thank you. We all thank you, John Little. You never gave up. You never threw in the towel, and you solved it with smarts and cunning and wisdom. Thank you, John Little. Thank you so much for joining us today on another episode of True Criminal Minds. I appreciate it so much. If you like our podcast, please consider subscribing to it and then invite your friends also. We need them to be part of this podcast. Thank you so much, and we will see you on the next episode of True Criminal Minds.